You're listening to another sermon by Pastor Michael Zapata from the Potter's House Christian Church. Praise God. If you brought your Bibles this morning, we want to get to the Word of God. Let's turn to the book of Genesis chapter 11. Book of Genesis chapter 11, we're going to be reading from verse 1 through to 9 this morning. A bit of a lengthy passage, but really feel stirred by God to be able to bring a word in season. Hallelujah. I want to preach you a sermon entitled Staying Grounded. It was in National Geographic article in December the 5th, 2019. Let me try that again. It was a National Geographic article that was published on December the 5th, 2019, and it read the 20 top scientific discoveries of the decade. This article went on to look at the last 10 years of what's happened scientifically, the breakthroughs. And so I want to just quickly read a portion of this article. It says, as the 2010s come to an end, we look back on an era rife with discovery. In the past 10 years, scientists around the world made remarkable progress towards understanding the human body, our planet, and the cosmos that surrounds us. What's more, science in the 2010s became more global and collaborative than ever before. These days, major breakthroughs are likely to come from groups of 3,000 scientists than groups of three. Now, these are some of the things that they highlight as breakthroughs in the last decade. Number one is that they've been able to detect gravitational waves. The discovery was announced in 2016 that opened a new way of hearing the cosmos. Another breakthrough was shaking up the family tree. In 2015, they discovered a new fossil resembling both the modern human and the far ancient cousins. And I'm not too sure what exactly that means, but I'm guessing it's still human. Still, it made it to the top 20. Number three, the study of ancient DNA. In 2018, it found 90,000-year-old bone belonged to a teenage girl whose mother was Neanderthal and whose father was Denisovan, making it the first human hybrid to be discovered. I'm guessing it's just still another bone. Another discovery was entering the CRISP era. In 2012, CRISPR Cas9 could be used as a powerful genetic editing tool. In 2018, this tool was used to edit the DNA of two Chinese girls, making it a global memorial breakthrough like never before, known as the germline, which ultimately caused to edit their DNA, human DNA. So what we see is they're doing human science experiments on humans. Another breakthrough was the sign of the cosmos like never before. In 2013, European Space Agency, they launched a spacecraft that collected distance measuring more than a billion stars in the Milky Way, as well as the velocity data of more than 150 million stars. So never before, in the last 10 years, have gone further with spacecraft in the cosmos. Another breakthrough was changing the course of disease in response to the 2014 through 2016 Ebola outbreak. Public health officials fast-tracked a RVSV Zebov, an experimental Ebola vaccine. It was approved in 2019, seen as a milestone in the fight against deadly diseases. The last 10 years, a fight against deadly diseases. Another breakthrough was pushing reproductive limits. Another rewriting paleontology textbooks. Another finding life in space. Another global climate change awareness. Another was kick off a space flight era. In 2011, China launched its first space laboratory into orbit. In 2014, India's Mars orbiter mission arrived on the red planet on the first go. And in 2019, Israel attempted its first privately funded lunar landing. So my point is very simple, that in the last 10 years, we've seen incredible heights in human knowledge and scientific breakthrough. Nothing seems as though it is unreachable now. Nothing seems as though it is unobtainable. In fact, it seems as though there isn't any lengths we can go to that we are willing to fund to make sure, all in the name of science or out of the power of knowledge. While these things may be new and exciting times for many, there is a fragrance of arrogance that is in the air amongst these great so-called discoveries. Now, I want to preach to you a sermon called Staying Grounded, because I believe what we are seeing right now unfold around us is God's way of saying to us, or even showing us, that maybe we are going a little bit too far. I want to preach you a sermon entitled Staying Grounded. The book of Genesis, chapter 11, starting at verse 1 through to 9. The Bible says these words: Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that it was found in the plain in the land of Shinar. They dwelt there. Then they said to one another, Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose tops is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord said, Indeed, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Staying grounded. Let's look firstly and focus at a high place. Now, man's inward desire has always been one of elevation. We've always sought out promotion, seeking its next high. And this fascination in life has caused many people to strive for the highest of heights. This could be experienced in various different types of way, whether it's experimental, where it's achieving beyond what man could ultimately reach, or it could be even living a certain way. It's been spoken about as seeking the next high, breakthrough, or just the greatest of great feelings. It could also be referenced to living the high life, that whenever you are going to make big purchases or live a lavish lifestyle, it would be expressed or be explained as, I'm living the high life. And this becomes a desirable aspect in life, that we put everything aside, life itself. We try to block out anything that tries to hinder that, hold us back, restrain us. And so what we have now is a mindset seeking promotion and elevation. Now, it's this kind of mindset that we see provokes the earth settlers to become consumed with reaching new heights. In our text, verse 4, the Bible says, Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose tops are in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, what I want to mention firstly is that the people that are there on the earth are in direct rebellion to God's first instructions after he created them. In fact, we see in verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1, then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the living things that move on the earth." And so here is a command from God, go and multiply, go and subdue the earth, go and spread your wings and go out there and live your life. But they are choosing to do the exact opposite. Instead of going out there and filling the earth, the Bible says they now are gathering together in one place and building a tower that reaches to the heavens. Now, what we are not talking about this morning is striving for a low life. If any, let's not get this wrong. It's not like any type of promotion is from the devil or its aim is to destroy you. In fact, what we are trying to highlight this morning is the warning signs that can help us prevent from experiencing what these people experienced, rather than seeking extreme heights to promote ourselves. We want to see what it was that these people began to experience and the reason for it, why that happened. Now, I believe that this text is speaking about a lofty spirit. Now, originally, the word lofty was used to describe an attribute of the Father in heaven. In the book of Isaiah, it speaks about chapter 57, verse 15, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." And so we have that word that is a Hebrew word, nasa, meaning to lift. It is high above. It is above all other things. And so this word that Isaiah uses, lofty, it is there to recognize that we serve a God that is way above, way beyond us, and he deserves praise for that very attribute. And what we come to recognize, this is the best description that fits a God from a high place. He is a holy God. He is a God that sits in heaven, that ultimately has all power, all right of way, and ought to have all power and all right of way. This is the God that we serve. Now, what we come to discover is that the word begins to change its direction. In fact, the picture we begin to see later on when the word lofty is used in our in the Word of God, it actually promotes or highlights someone who is trying to elevate themselves higher than they ought to. In Psalm 73, verse 8, they scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. That word means far above, aloft, haughty, height, or high one. And so here is Psalms that's revealing the person that speaks loftily, someone that elevates themselves, someone that puts others down and raises themselves up. And so now we see this and how it affects in our text and how it correlates. Here are these people that are crying out and saying, let's do something that promotes us. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let's build a tower that reaches the heavens so we can be in the heavens as well. What we come to understand is that man has always wrestled with God against his rightful position. This is a direct result of our sinful nature. It's the devil's I wills. Isaiah 14, verse 13. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation on the farther side of the north. Here is the devil's I wills that tries to promote himself above God, above the Almighty, the one who ought to be above all things. Here is the devil that tries to assume position higher than God. And this is what we see that is transpiring in a physical sense. By building a tower into the heavens, they are now projecting a lofty spirit. Their entire motivation was, I want to be recognized. I want to be seen. Now, doesn't that just speak about our generation today? Doesn't that just highlight the selfie generation today? In fact, I read this morning in regards to now that The people have been released and the restrictions have been lowered. We can now go out and do a little bit more, that people are going out taking selfies. And as a result, people are dying trying to get a selfie. How tragic it is to hear that. That all they want to do is be in a picture and they're willing to lose their lives for it. They want to be seen. They want to be the center of attention. They want to be the main focus. And what we are seeing in Genesis 11 is exactly what we're seeing today transpire. So I want to look secondly at building together. Now there are certain signs that this was destined to fail. And this is because the motivating factor behind these people was a lofty or haughty spirit. We see that this was all about them. We recognize that they didn't seek out any help from God. In fact, they did it all themselves. They built this tower by themselves. And what's profound is they were able to do this because they all had one language. Now, God has created us with His infinite wisdom to be workers, to be able workers, creative with the ability to think and to achieve, to strive for greatness, to build things that we ourselves would be proud of. And this is where we need to find, we need to kind of draw the line and figure out exactly the difference between having a lofty spirit that ultimately causes us to work against the will of God and having a spirit that ultimately God is able to bless. Now, in regards to our text, I'm glad and I'm very thankful that we read this and be able to hear that instead of making the people, after we recognize what they're doing, God sees them, what they're building is wrong, it is not right, this is all about them. Instead of making them vegetables, He just confuses their language. In other words, He didn't remove the ability to think. He didn't take away from them creativity. He just changed their language and they confused themselves as a result. And so what we see is that God isn't against creativity. God isn't against reaching new heights, but there is something that is very destructive when we're operating with a lofty spirit. So let's look at some things that the lofty spirit affects. Number one, it affects your speech. In our text, immediately, they turn to one another in verse 3, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone and they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose tops are in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Immediately, we can see that the lofty spirit has got a hold of their speech. Now everything that they say is for promotion. Now everything that they are gearing towards is so that they would be elevated. In Psalm 73 verse 8, they scoff and they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. Here is the Bible revealing something profound when it comes to speech. It is the way you speak. It is how you say things that ultimately can cause others to be degraded and you elevated. In James chapter 4, verse 14 through to 15, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Here is James that brings a correct perspective to our speech. The one that operates with a lofty spirit is one that speaks highly of themselves, but one that is operating in the right spirit ultimately brings the will of God into their speech, putting in reference whether God will approve or disapprove of their plans. Number two is that we see the lofty spirit is expressed through the mind. That we see that these people that started to build this tower had a lofty mindset, a high-minded people. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Here the King James Version says, command those who are high-minded. There's something about a spirit of loftiness that now all of a sudden all you want to do is promote yourself. You are wanting to get rich and richer. You want to do things that would ultimately bless you, and you are inconsiderate of anybody else around you. It attacks the mind. It's a work ethic. It's money, money, money. We're not here to make friends. We're here to earn money. And we see that this is what captivated the minds of these builders. This is the lofty spirit that elevates the thoughts above all others. They said, what's profitable for me? How is this going to benefit me? Number three is we see the lofty spirit is revealed in attitude. Again, you can only hear the frustration of God the Father who comes down and sees His creation busy at work, but yet they are working contrary to His will. They are striving and achieving and they're working together, but it's completely the opposite of what He wants. A lofty spirit attacks the attitude. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 11, the lofty looks of a man who shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Here it's talking about a lofty look. Other translation says the lofty eyes. That all of a sudden it's the way you look at something. And it's amazing at how, you know, women have an ability, an incredible ability to say nothing but just with their eyes tell 1,000 stories. I can't tell you how many times it's just the famous roll of the eyes. Oh, here we go again. That just with those eyes you can tell a story. You know, my eldest daughter, she's at an age now where, you know, if I ever embarrass her, immediately roll in the eyes, Dad. She tells me exactly how she feels through those eyes. And there's something about a lofty look that expresses our inward attitude. And so here, a lofty spirit has captivated their attitude. Now, this is all that they want to do. This is what makes them feel good. This is what's going to make a name for them. And so they commit their entire lives to it. Now what we find is that in those same ingredients that we just spoke about, transferred into a man or woman who has the right heart for God, to be able to achieve God's purposes and plans, are actually perfect to do the will of God. We see that if we all spoke with one speech, there's nothing that could be withheld from us. And we see that ultimately in our church, that God gives the church one speech, a heavenly language to operate in, so that we can be in one accord and take the world for Jesus Christ. Listen to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through to 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all in one accord in one place, and they suddenly came there. There came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each other. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was one language that God gave the church to operate in, so that we would be unified in one accord, so that we could take the world for Jesus. See, in our text, they had one language, but they used it for their own benefit. They built something that would give them credit. But see, in the New Testament church, the Bible speaks about the fulfillment of the Holy Ghost, that is the comforter that came down and fell in the church, and this is what caused an outward spilling of the work of God touching the four corners of the world. A one language. We see also that God gives the people of God one task. It's the Great Commission that we read about in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And here is this Great Commission that we take personally as a fellowship, that we evangelize and we preach the gospel and we witness to our friends and our family members. Why? Because it is God's given task to us. That one task, yes, there are other things we can build. Yes, there are other things that the world wants us to invest in. But listen, God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Build my kingdom. Establish it on this earth. And I will bless, and I will equip, and I will provide. And it is these two things that we see working for God, that God says, I'm going to bless that. In fact, he's going to continue to equip. And so what we see is the ability to build together. So let's look thirdly and in closing at staying grounded. Now, something that caught my attention these past few weeks was the ability that after many, many years, being an airborne generation, all of a sudden everything is grounded. COVID-19 struck, and an airborne generation had to stay put. No more traveling the earth, no more visiting our foreign neighbors, no more taking a break and going on holiday or a gap year. Now all of a sudden everyone's grounded. In a quote that comes from Virgin Galactic, April 27, 2020, says Virgin Galactic signs Space Act agreement with NASA in the fight against COVID-19. Listen to what it says. With this Space Act agreement, we chart our next steps forward as a company and as proud members of global community committed to doing our best when times are at their hardest. I'm confident that we will emerge from the global health crisis stronger and better prepared than ever to see our sights on new horizons and continue in the fulfillment of Virgin Galactic's mission, which is overcoming challenges, exploring the unknown, and using space for good. Now, I'm not preaching against traveling. I'm not preaching against going on a holiday. But I think right now we need to pay attention to what's happening around us. We're in an airborne generation, and now through one virus, everyone's grounded. No more reaching those heights. No more building something for yourselves that brings glory to self. Now we've been forced to stay at home, focus on the family. Teach your children instead of palming them off to a daycare or to the public education or your schooling facilities. You have to do this. This is on you to invest in the world that you are living in. I don't know about you, but I feel as though God, like never before, has got our attention globally. And He's revealed to us who really is in control. You know, staying grounded is us recognizing that God's ways are higher than our ways. That there is nothing that we can build for ourselves that can compare to what God has for each and every one of us. In verse 3, come let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks of stone and they had asphalt for mortar. Here is these two physical tools, things that they use to be able to build for themselves. This represents only the physical, the carnal, the flesh. Yet you cannot build something eternal with these things. They wither away, they diminish, they break down. But I believe God wants to give us spiritual building blocks that we would build something that would bring glory not to our name but to His name. If I was to ask you this morning, what are you building? Is it something that God would be proud of? You know, whenever I think of embarrassing structures, I always come back to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You know, as someone that's been involved in construction, you look at that and you think, what went wrong there? Upon doing a little bit of studying of Pisa, I found out that the actual word Pisa in the Greek means marshy land, which kind of says, right from the beginning, this is not safe to build upon. Nevertheless, the builders went ahead and they built Pisa, this tower that was supposed to be straight, but by the third floor it started to lean and the foundation started to shift. But instead of actually stopping all production, they thought, you know what, we're going to correct this and just try to, you know, straighten it up as we build it. And for the next, you know, few floors after that, they're having to straighten things up, but it still is falling till today. What an embarrassment to look at that and think, that can never be straight. It's always going to be leaning. And that serves as a lesson for us this morning, to be able to understand that our lives that we're building, if it's not built with the spiritual foundational blocks that God gives us, it's going to fall. It's going to be destroyed. It's not going to last. So it's up to us to recognize that God's choosing for elevation is always right. That when it comes to a promotion, what we want is God to promote us, not for us to promote ourselves. See, God's promotion comes from a heart to serve. When we put others in front of ourselves, we emanate godliness. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's something about a heart that is willing to serve others above themselves. that God says, I'm going to bless that, I'm going to honor that. Number two, it comes from a heart that is willing to follow. Instead of leading the way, instead of being the one who's calling the shots, rather submitting and being willing to follow the instructions that are given to us by God. See, this church isn't a work of man. Our church is a work of God. That each one, the Bible says, is a member that has been placed by God. And you need to understand that it is when we willingly follow that the body of Christ here in Helensvale is able to make a difference. The power of Jesus Christ, for the name of Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and know them, and I know them, and they follow me. It takes a heart to serve and a willing to follow. Someone that's willing to say, Lord, you call the shots, and I'll just follow in what you say. Number three, it comes from a heart that waits for God's promotion. I can't tell you that as I was reading this passage of Scripture in regards to the people that wanted to make a name for themselves, and then I'm reading things that are happening around the world, and I'm thinking this is exactly what is going on today. That the things that people have built in their lives that have maybe caused them to be successful and be known and be recognized has now been stopped by God. Now all of a sudden, you know, this one virus comes in and infects things and everything comes to a halt. No more going to your favorite musician concert. No more going to your favorite team's game and chanting and cheering them on. No more going to these places that promote self. Stay grounded. It's interesting at how it's shaken a lot of things. Lives have been shaken. Mindsets have been rocked. We're considering what is our life? What is our purpose? What does it mean? And I can't help but think this is God's doing. God is involved in this. God is at work. Somehow He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to direct us and speak to us. The things that we've been building, He's saying, you know what, we need to stop and we need to focus. We need to be recalibrated because what He wants us to build is His kingdom so that people may be saved, so that lives would be spared. Listen to me this morning. God wants to use your life. God wants to use your life for the sake of others that are around you, those that are perishing, those that are lost, those that are finding value in things that will one day perish. But it's us to recognize this, stay grounded, and allow God to direct our paths. Praise God. That's all I have for you this morning. We want to quickly bow our heads. Close our eyes. We want to have a time of prayer right now.